This is Hamish and Gabby. Catch up.
Tell us something we don't know.
Time for another round of Tell Us Something We Don't Know, where you call through 13 12 16. Tell us something we don't know. If we learn something, you win something. Simple,
totally.
Really. Natalie is on the line. How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. All right. You got to wow us. Tell us something we don't know.
So I actually found this out on the National Geographic website, which was a bit interesting to find out that kangaroo females actually have 3 vaginas.
Definitely did not know that, and neither did Hamish, judging by the awkward noise that just came out of his mouth. It was half laugh, half sigh.
No, it's just so many things go through your brain when you hear that kind of chat, and none of them
were appropriate to voice.
Yes. So I just thought being quiet was
the safer option.
Yeah. And would keep me in a job for a little longer. Now, you didn't know that, Gab?
Of course I didn't know that.
Okay, kangaroos have 3 vajayjays. Okay.
All
right.
Can't even say the word.
That just makes me uncomfortable. Now, all right, well, I tell you what, why don't we wrap this up here by saying, Natalie, congratulations, you've won our mystery voucher for today.
Thank you very much, and I'm glad I could put a smile on your face.
It's exactly what you have done.
The March movement does begin tomorrow, which is really exciting. It's a month where we're trying to get everyone just to get moving a little bit every day.
Yep.
But we have been talking recently about the reasons why we've done the March movement, and that's because we're really worried about the stats in Queensland, where over 60% of people are overweight.
Yeah.
And when talking about these stats, I felt really weird not acknowledging the fact that I'm within those stats.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's because I'm really uncomfortable talking about it.
Yeah.
I hate talking about it.
I don't think you're alone on that fact.
No, and I don't think I am, but I just want to acknowledge it because I feel like I'm kind of lying by just being like, oh, this stat is horrible. We need to turn it around.
Yeah, let's do something about it.
You know, I need to turn my health around as well because I'm within that percentage.
Yeah, sure.
But the reason I don't really talk about it, I guess, is because, you know, hey, you've got this like negative voice in your head always kind of pointing out your flaws. And I hate fueling that voice.
Yeah.
Everyone has it, but some people have it stronger than others.
Yeah, sure.
And I choose not to listen to it as much as possible.
Yeah, right.
And I don't like to feel it, so I don't like to talk about the flaws that I see in my body.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, over the last, I guess, 8 years, but probably the last 5 years more so, I've put on 20 kilos.
Right.
And that is a lot of kilos. And I've actually never said that out loud, ever, to anybody. And it's really confronting to me.
Yeah, right.
And it's like a number of factors. Breakfast radio, crap hours, terrible sleep patterns.
True.
Always craving sugar because I'm always tired.
Yeah.
I also have polycystic ovary syndrome, which is a hormone issue, which means that I can put on weight easier than others and it's hard to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's also bad choices when it comes to not being active enough and not making good choices with my food.
Yeah.
So it's all crept on over the years, and I know how hard it is to make those first steps to change your life.
Mm.
Like, you've got to change your whole lifestyle in order to see results. And those first steps are really confronting because when you see this goal so far away, it's really hard to know how to make those first steps. Or it's hard to commit to making those first steps when you know it's going to be a really long journey in order to reach that goal.
Yeah.
And to think, you know, do I have the motivation for the next year to continue changing my lifestyle in order to reach it?
Well, that's the thing with the March movement is that it's just baby steps to begin with. We're not promising at the end of March that you would have dropped your 20 kilos or anything like that. It's about building up that, I guess, that commitment level in order to continue to keep moving and doing something a little extra each and every day.
Totally. And it's about changing those habits, even if it's by a minuscule amount every single day, as long as you keep changing those habits to make them healthier and you commit to making small changes every day, it becomes a lot easier to achieve because you're not, you know, saying, all right, I'm going to eat only 100 calories today. I'm going to exercise in 3 different classes. It's not achievable. It's not a long-term thing that is going to actually fit into your life.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you do need to make those small changes. So I guess I just wanted to be honest today in the spirit of the March movement because, you know, I'm in this too.
Yeah.
And so I want everyone to join in on this to become healthier and to, you know, just acknowledge the fact I know it's difficult and I know it's hard, but when we all do it together and we all make these tiny changes that are going to lead into bigger changes, we can all get healthier together.
Yep.
And that's what I'm really excited about. I'm really excited to band together and really dedicate the month of March to looking after ourselves and prioritizing our health and seeing how many habits we can change by the end of the period of time. I think it's, you know, it's a really important thing to do. And yeah, I just wanted to put it out there that I'm doing this too. I'm in it too.
Well, that's it. We're all in it together and it starts officially tomorrow. So we do want you to jump on board the March movement.
It's in the news today. Queensland midwives have called time on medics using condescending and frightening language during childbirth.
Yep.
So there's a few phrases that they're saying should not be uttered in a labour suite. Things like failure to progress. Instead, you should just call it a slow labour.
Yeah, sure.
Or instead of calling the baby big, call it healthy. Mm-hmm. So things like that to try to bring down the stress levels in a labour suite. We have never had a baby, either of us.
No.
So we've never been in the situation where we can kind of comment on whether
that's true.
It would actually bring down the stress levels or not.
Yep.
So we want to know 13, 12, 16 people who have given birth, what they think about this.
And we got Sophie on the line. Sophie, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I've had two kids, and luckily for me, I had two pretty easy labours. But I suppose really in the moment, you're not thinking about what other people are saying. I think we're such a soft society already that, like, why do we have to cushion what we say as well? I think it's a little bit
silly. When you were in labour, if the doctor said to you, oh, that was a painful contraction, would you be offended?
No way, because I'd be like, bloody oath it was.
See, that's what I thought. Like, he's just commenting. It's a fact. That's actually what happened.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think it's, I don't know, we have to soften what we say and be careful what we say with everything. Yeah, when you're in the moment, I can't really recall what everybody was telling me. I mean, I remember my first labour, and I was like, I don't want anyone else in the room that doesn't have to be there. And then in the moment, they were saying, well, I've just got a student doctor. Are you happy for them to come in? I'm like, I don't care. What do you need to do? Just let me have this child, and that's fine. So it's just, yeah, I wouldn't have been offended in any way with what anybody said because I really can't recall what they did say at the time.
And now we've got Brenda on the line. Brenda, what are your thoughts?
Look, I strongly agree with all of the recommendations.
Oh, you do?
I feel very strongly about this. Mm-hmm. I'm a mother of two. Both of my babies were cesarean babies. Mm. And as much as you are in the moment, completely consumed with concern about your baby, concern about yourself, about what's happening, there are certain words and certain terminology that medical staff use that can be extremely triggering and can cause so much angst for a mother that's in that situation. So,
can you give us an example other than the ones that we've already heard today?
Off the top of my head, look, sorry, I can't. But for example, some of the terminology that you've spoken about today, telling a mother that she's having a big baby creates concern that it's not normal, whereas a healthy baby, it's quite healthy for babies to be a variety of sizes. Mm. You know, a small baby is healthy for some mothers. A more ample baby is quite healthy and quite normal for other mothers. So just changing that terminology completely changes the way that we view what's happening at that time.
So whilst giving birth, if someone, a doc, a medic or whatever, was to say to you, good girl, or would you find that condescending? Would you prefer that you are doing very well or really well?
Look, yes, I would say yes, I would prefer that. Perhaps it might not actually register at the time that those words had been used, but certainly I think after giving birth, mothers go through a fairly big period of reflection.
Yep.
We review, we rehash what's happened at that time, and I think in looking back then, it might perhaps feel a little bit demeaning.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I get that. Because just being being called good girl in any way, shape or form, yeah. even if you're outside of a Labor suite, no, is fair. A bit condescending yeah. if it's coming from someone in a position of power.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Look, it's good to get that perspective, and I guess the thing is, you know, whilst you're in Labor and whatnot, some of these terms might just fly by because you're in the moment, obviously, but it's when you look back at what happened and your experience that it might give you a negative. So we appreciate the call. Thank you for that.
No worries. Thank you so much.
Amazing story this morning of a renter from Cairns who was doing a last-ditch clean of the apartment before moving out. So obviously, you know, when you move into a place, you treat it as your home. If you're renting, you make a mess. All right.
Totally.
And then when you move out, they want you to clean up. You have to do a bond clean and all that kind of stuff as well.
Like, but it's filling all the holes in the walls and repaint and, you know, all that jazz.
That's exactly it, Gab. And you would know that because you are the creator of plenty of holes.
I still have holes in my wall, but luckily I own my house now.
That's right. Anyway, this renter was doing a last ditch clean before moving out, found $10,000 worth of diamonds.
What?
10 grand worth of diamonds just tucked away in a little corner.
So they've been living with these diamonds the whole time.
Been in
renting.
The apartment for 5 years.
And they never knew.
Never knew.
Why have they not cleaned the apartment before now? That's 5 years of dirt and dust.
When you're living in the apartment, you give it just a little bit of a clean to make yourself comfortable with the fact that you are kind of clean.
Every time there's an inspection, you just make it look good. Doesn't mean
that's right.
That
you tuck things away.
Good.
But when you're actually moving out, you've got to do a full clean. You've got to clean every nook and cranny. And just so happens, in a nook or a cranny, there was $10,000 worth of
diamonds. Crazy.
Unbelievable.
Where did 10 grand's worth of diamonds come from?
I don't know.
What pirate was stashing them there?
Who knows? Who knows? But I'm sure the cops will find out where the diamonds have come from eventually. But I want to know on 13, 12, 16, whether you've had a major haul. No, well, not 10 grand's worth of diamonds, but you've found something. Mm. Maybe it's cash or something else of value whilst cleaning up.
Well, my only recollection of this is I used to offer to clean my parents' cars, like vacuum on the inside and whatnot, so that all of the loose change that I found, I'd just book it.
Oh, really?
They'd also pay me to clean their cars.
And that was above and beyond.
And that was the bonus.
Oh, wow.
Well, they don't know that I pocketed the coins.
No,
but,
of course not.
You know, it's something that you do.
Sad story, but on par with this, when my grandmother passed away, we had to clean out her house, and she stashed cash everywhere.
Didn't leave in banks.
No, so she had rolled up notes and all that kind of stuff in the curtain rods. And
what?
All that kind of business. Yeah, we had to go through the, you know, on the door stoppers, you get the little rubber door stoppers, you can actually pull those off, and inside there's a little cavity. She had stashed cash in those as well. She was just
creative.
Yeah, hoarding money and all that kind of stuff. So
that's the only good kind of hoarding.
Money. All right, what have you found whilst cleaning? It could be cash, it could be something else. We'd love to hear from you. 13, 12, 16. Josh is on the line. Mate, what have you found?
When Grandma passed away, we were doing the big clean-up of the old house and all that, and we knew Pop had his gun from World War II, but we lost it when he passed away, and we didn't know where he hid it, and it was under their mattress of their bed.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So we found that cleaning up, and it's in the War Museum down in Melbourne now and everything.
Wow.
It was still Mickey Mouse and everything.
Wow.
That is crazy. But why would you put that under your mattress?
I would.
Of all places.
I would assume it would be very uncomfortable to lie on, even though there's, you know, a fair amount of foam in between. It's still a gun. So.
It's an old, so it's pretty thin. They weren't massive guns back then. So
not a cannon. It's more
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Definitely
not a cannon.
What a find, though. That is crazy.
Isn't it just?
It was pretty good.
And why donate it to a museum? Why not sell it to a collector?
Well, we thought about it, but it had his original certificate and everything with it, and there's not very many left with, like, the certificate of that's your gun and everything in Australia.
It's a piece of history.
It is a piece of history. You've done the right thing. I was just going
for
the cash.
This is Hamish and Gabby. Catch up.